Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
All right, I want to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and join me in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we will cover this morning verses 5 through 15. I thought as we head into a prayer walk tonight over our church property that it'd be helpful for us to consider the issue of prayer. And I want you to know, and I want to say to you this morning, I think that one of the most neglected aspects for most Christians, and I would put myself in that same group, is that we do a lot of things and we don't pray a whole lot. That, in fact, we think of ourselves as being able to accomplish things for the Lord when, in all reality, we need the Lord a whole lot more than many of us think. For me, I know one of the things that that I love to do and in my walk with the Lord that I would say is probably a great strength of mine is spending time in God's Word. And some of you are like that. Spending time in God's Word, that is what you absolutely love to do. And yet what I've noticed in my life is the fact that spending time in God's Word is wonderful. And in God's Word, we see God reveal Himself to us. We see His salvation plan unfold, and we see what the future is going to hold. And yet, the reality for us is that if we don't couple time in God's Word with time in prayer, we're going to miss much of what God wants to do in and through our lives. Here's what I'm convinced of, church, that we will accomplish more as a church family, as a faith family gathered here on our knees in prayer than we'll accomplish doing anything else. We desperately need God's power at work in our lives and through our community. And so as we read this morning, I want us to look at the issue of prayer. And I've titled this message, When You Pray, and it'll be pretty clear as you see in the verses. Beginning in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's one of his longest recorded portions of teaching, and here he talks about the issue of prayer in verses that I think are probably familiar to many of us. In verse 5, this is what Jesus says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. But truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Lord, we ask in this moment as we unpack your word today that, Lord, as Paul mentioned earlier, you would open our God ears, that we would be able to hear from you, or that you would open our hearts, that we'd be able to receive what we hear. Lord, that we would put into practice what you show us through your word. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen. You know, it's interesting when you look at what Jesus does here. In fact, Jesus, in giving us what many of us know of as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us two "do not do this" before he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And so when you look at what he says, beginning in verse 5, he identifies what he calls there the hypocrites, and then he identifies in verse 7 what he calls the Gentiles. And so in verse 5, he says, when you pray, it's interesting that the assumption that Jesus makes is not if we pray, but very good. Y'all are working hard this morning, okay? Not if we pray, but when we pray. So he says to those who would follow after him, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Now here's what he's going to describe for us. The hypocrites would love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners for this purpose, so that other people would see them. They wanted the recognition that they were super spiritual people. And so they wanted everybody to notice that they were praying, that they were the spiritual people, that they were the ones who should be the models. They wanted that recognition for themselves. He says, but don't be like them, because they've received their reward. But when you go, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then in verse 7 talks about the Gentiles. He says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then he gives us in verse 9, beginning there, how we should pray. He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. If you're taking notes this morning, here's what I want you to write down. It's the first truth that we see in the text this morning, verses 5 through 9. What we're going to see is that when we pray, we should pray in relationship. When we pray, we should pray in relationship. Now, I want you to notice what he does here. As Jesus is teaching to these people who are seeking to follow after him, Jesus says, you should not pray like this, and you should not pray like this, but this is how you should pray. Now, when he's identifying the first group that he calls the hypocrites, who were praying out in the open so people would look at them, what Jesus is focusing in that moment is that these people believe that if they're religious enough, that God will hear them. They feel like if they check the right boxes, if they're religious enough people, that God's going to hear them and respond to them as they pray. And the second group, Jesus is pointing at them and saying, listen, they think not if they're religious enough, but if they say the right words. Like there's a magic formula in prayer. Now, here's the thing. If you grew up in church, you know what that magic formula is. At least we think we do, right? How many of you pray, and I do this myself, you think that you've got to put a stamp at the end and in Jesus' name, amen, right? You've been around church, right? If you put the stamp on the end, it's going. If the stamp's not there, it's not going to happen, right? Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, I've never thought about that, right? Because we just assume that's the way that we're supposed to pray. But here's the thing that Jesus says. He says it's not about being religious enough so that God looks and says, yeah, I'll listen to you. And it's not about the right formula. In fact, if you notice what he does in both of those sections when he says not to, he describes God the Father by using the word Father. Now think about it for just a second. When you and I, if we're followers of Jesus, if we've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that God the Father has adopted us as his sons and his daughters. So that when we pray, We aren't praying to some distant force that's out there. We are praying to our Heavenly Father. Now, some of you, let's be honest, don't have a good role model in your mind when you think about a father. Some of you may have grown up and you may not have even known your father, or if you did know your father, he was maybe abusive or harsh or any number of things. And so when I use that word father, immediately in your mind, you start thinking, oh, if God's like my dad, that's not the kind of God I want to serve or worship. Some of you are the exact opposite, and you had incredible fathers that loved you well. And you think, oh, man. If that's the way God looks at me, then that is amazing. This morning when I woke up, I went into our office at home and I got into my chair that came off of Craigslist. It's an amazing chair, though. And so I'm sitting there, and it usually happens like this every morning. Leah, our youngest, is the first one to wake up. She's like Dad. She wakes up early. Anna's like Mom. She may not wake up, right? So here's the thing. Leah walks in, and there's sleep in her eyes, and she squints because the lights are on in the room, and she walks in, and she just stands there. And I said, "Good morning, babe." She said, "Now, I don't speak six-year-old hand motions. I just don't." And so I said, "Babe, what do you need?" And she said, "You know." And I'm like, "Babe, I have no idea what you want." She said, "Every morning, I'm hungry." Which meant, "Dad, get up and fix me some milk and some Cheerios." That's what that meant. So, but here's the thing. Never once in that interaction did I think, "I can't believe she came in here." Never once did I look at her and think, "How dare she come in with hands opened out wanting something from me?" Sometimes we think that's the way God is. That we, as His sons and daughters, are a bother to Him when we come to Him in prayer. That God is in heaven with so many other things that He needs to do, and He really doesn't have time for us, and yet that is not at all the God that we serve. In fact, God is waiting for us to come to Him. In fact, God loves for us to come to Him in prayer. If we're going to pray well, we need to pray in relationship. We need to pray to a Heavenly Father that loves us. We need to pray to a Heavenly Father that loved us so much He sent His own Son to die for us. That is the God that we serve. And so if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus and you're father's situation was not a good one, can I say this to you? God is not like that. If you have hurt in your life from a dad that didn't love you well, a dad that didn't have time for you, a dad who maybe was abusive to you, can I say this to you? God is the dad that you've always dreamed about. And He doesn't dislike you. He doesn't dislove you. In fact, He stands there with arms open wide for you to crawl up in His lap, and He says, "I love you." That is the kind of God that we serve. That's the God that we pray to. And if we're going to pray well, if we're going to see in our lives prayer become a cornerstone in the Christian life, we're going to pray in relationship. I want you to notice what He says there. Not only does Jesus says we should pray like this, our Father in heaven, but here's the second part. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now that word hallowed is not a word that we typically use. At least I know I don't very often. In fact, most of you are probably thinking the only time I do use that word is if I say the Lord's Prayer, right? That word simply is ascribing to the Lord the worth that He's due. It's praising His name. That's what it is. So not only are you saying, this is my heavenly Father that loves me, I'm His adopted child, but we also realize in prayer too that we're not just talking to some force out there. In fact, we are talking to the very God of the universe that created us and that holds all things together. This is an amazing God that we worship. This is an amazing God who calls us children. And in fact, the God of the universe says, listen, I've got time for you. I'm waiting for you. Many of you know that I love church history, and you know that I love presidential history. Those are kind of my two wheelhouses, love those things. And I saw an interview that was on one of the nightly shows with George W. Bush's, one of his daughters, one of his twin daughters. And the interviewer was asking her, he was still president at that point in time, and she said, now tell me this, could you just pick up the phone and call your dad? It's president of the United States. And she said, yeah. And she said, I mean, like you could just dial a number and he answers the phone. And she said, well, yeah. So she said, I want to see it. So live on air, they bring her out a phone and she dials in. And her mom answered the phone. She said, hey, honey, how you doing? She said, I'm good. Is dad there? And she said, yeah, hang on. He's right here. And all of a sudden, he answers the phone on live television at that point. And he talks to his daughter. And I'm sitting there as I'm watching that, and I'm thinking that the God of the universe, who is so much more important than the President of the United States, regardless of who that person is, the God of the universe stands ready and willing to answer the call for us. He listens to us. He hears us when we pray. If we're going to pray well, we must pray in relationship. But here's verse 10. Notice as Jesus tells us how we should pray. He says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he says in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you want to write down the second truth this morning, it's this: when you pray, you should pray with perspective. So we pray in relationship. We recognize that God is our Heavenly Father if we've trusted in Jesus for salvation. We recognize that He is the God of the universe that loves us, that we are praying to. But we also, when we pray, should pray with perspective. Let me say this to you. Prayer is not telling God something that He doesn't know. Right? So this morning, when my daughter stands with arms open wide, I had absolutely no idea in that moment what she really wanted. I kind of had a hint, but I really didn't know. And so I had to ask her, sweetie, what do you want? Here's the cool thing. God knows exactly what's going on in your life before you ever say anything to Him in prayer. God already knows. God already knows exactly what's going on in your life as a follower of Jesus. He knows what's going on. In fact, we don't have to inform God of anything. Isn't that pretty cool? He's not sitting back going, man, I had no idea that was going on in your life. Are you kidding me? Man, if I'd have known that, I could have done this, this, or this. That's not the way God is. In fact, God knows exactly what's going on. Prayer is less about informing God of something. And listen to this, prayer is less about getting God to change His mind about something. Now, I want to be very purposeful in what I say. Prayer is primarily about bending us to what God wants than it is bending God to what we want. So if you notice what Jesus says here in verse 10, he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, when we pray in relationship, but we need to pray with perspective as well. We ought to look around us and see what God is doing. We ought to look in God's Word and find out what His heart is. And as we pray, we bend ourselves to what God wants to do in and through our lives. See, here's the thing that I want us to understand, that for us as a church family, as we think about moving forward with this building, as we think about all of those things, I want you to hear this. We're not trying to get God to do something for us that we think we want. In fact, what we're doing, and hopefully what we'll be doing this evening, is aligning ourselves with what God wants to do. You see, here's what I've realized in my life in terms of prayer, that if I'm focused in on getting God to do what I want Him to do, even if it's a good thing, I'll miss God doing what He can do. I've said this before to us, that if we can accomplish what we're trying to do as a church family in our own strength and our own power, we've missed what God wants to do. And that's what Jesus is emphasizing here as he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He's reminding us that prayer is not about getting something from God, but aligning ourselves with what God wants to do. You see, here's the thing I'm convinced of. God wants to do far more abundantly than we can ask or imagine. God wants to do more than we can dream of. And the issue is not trying to get God to do it, but aligning ourselves so that when God does do it, He can use us in the process. So when we pray, we should pray in relationship. We should pray with perspective. But I want you to notice the last verses this morning. Verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We should pray in relationship, we should pray with perspective, but here's the third truth that we see in those verses this morning. When we pray, we should pray with dependence. The very nature of prayer is saying to God, "We are utterly, completely dependent on you." If you notice what he says there, beginning in verse 11, he asks the Lord, Jesus teaching those who were following him how to pray, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now for us, we don't think about daily bread a whole lot. Most of us have a pantry with food in it. We have a refrigerator with food in it. The idea of having to get enough food just to feed us for today, it's not really in our minds at this point. But for them, it was. There really weren't grocery stores. You couldn't run up to Publix and pick up groceries for the week. In fact, you were dependent on getting enough food for the day. But here's the thing that we need to realize. For us as followers of Jesus, we are utterly dependent on God to provide what we need for today. We may think that we have it covered. We may think, "Well, I've got money in the bank. I went to the grocery store. I've got a freezer full and a refrigerator, and I've got everything that I need." And yet the reality is, apart from God's provision in our lives, we don't have anything. And here Jesus says, as he's teaching his disciples how to pray, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And then notice verse 12, the dependence. "And forgive us our debts." as we also have forgiven our debtors. Notice the dependence in verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, when we pray in relationship and we pray with perspective, but hear me, church, we pray utterly dependent on the Lord. Here's where I think we often miss the mark. For many of us, we feel like we got it covered. Here's how I know that. Because typically we pray when things aren't going well, right? Things are not going well, first thing for us, what? Yeah, pray about that. As if God's been asleep on the job for the last few months. Didn't know that was coming. Yeah, that's not the case at all. In fact, God is constantly working in our lives. And for us, we need to realize that we are utterly dependent day in and day out on Him. How many of you purposefully, when you went to bed last night, told yourself, I need to breathe through the night? You didn't even think about it. You know who did think about it? God did. God sustained you through the night. You didn't think about breathing. We are utterly dependent on Him. And for us, if we're going to pray well, we need to pray with dependence, recognizing that we need Him. In fact, the Bible's pretty clear. He doesn't necessarily need us. But church, we desperately, desperately need Him. So when we pray in utter dependence on Him. I want to ask you if you bow your heads with me this morning and ask the band to make their way up. As we think about prayer this morning, I just want to ask a couple of questions and give you an opportunity briefly to respond, and then we'll transition to take the Lord's Supper this morning. But as you think about prayer in your own life, number one, the question is, are you praying in relationship? You may be here this morning, and the truth is that you don't have a relationship with God. You've never come to that point in your life where you recognize that you needed to be saved from your sin, and you placed your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. And so when we talk about praying in relationship, the truth is this morning, the relationship's not there. And this morning, that needs to change. You need to receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus' death provides in His resurrection. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you as the band begins to play that you make your way to the back and love to share with you what that looks like. As you think about prayer in your own life, you may have thought often that God didn't want to hear from you. Maybe He was too busy. You need to realize this morning that that's not the case at all. He's your heavenly Father who loves you and loves to hear from you. Maybe you've been trying to get something from God in prayer, and you realize this morning that prayer is more about aligning yourself with what God wants. Maybe the truth in your life is that you think that you've got it covered, pretty self-sufficient, and yet prayer is about dependence on Him. Wherever you are this morning in your life of prayer, I want to encourage you. God loves to hear from you. He wants to work in and through your life as you depend on Him. Father, as we sit here this morning and reflect on the Lord's Prayer and Jesus' teaching, may it encourage us and challenge us in our life of prayer. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and stay seated if you would. And I want to ask our guys if they'll make their way up. We will take our time of communion this morning.